Our scripture reading this morning will be Matthew 1:18-25 and Luke 1:26-38 and Luke 2:3-20. So if you're willing and able, please stand for the reading of God's word. Matthew 1:18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, desired to put her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for it is he who will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place, that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And Joseph arose from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took her as his wife and kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. And then in Luke 1, Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, Hail, favored one, the Lord is with you. But she was greatly troubled at this statement, and kept pondering what kind of salutation this might be. And the angel said to her, Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. And Mary said to the angel, How can this be, since I am a virgin? And the angel answered and said to her, The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason the holy offspring shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she who was called barren is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, be it done to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. And then Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 3. And all were proceeding to register for the census, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. And it came about that while they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And in the same region there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. And the angel said to them, Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy which shall be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." And it came about when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came in haste and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. And when they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as it had been told them. You may be seated. Let's pray. Oh Lord God, we thank you so much for these accounts that we can read, Lord, that we can see and remember and dwell on you sending your Son here for us. That Jesus would take on flesh and dwell among us. Lord, we thank you for this time of year, for this celebration of Jesus' birth. And we pray, Lord, that you would remind us that our God saves. And Lord, that you would work in us thankfulness, that we would praise you with grateful hearts for sending us your Son. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, the Christmas story is such a miraculous story. As I mentioned, I was reminded of it in going through the Exodus when God brought the Israelites out of Egypt. And the Christmas story is such a miraculous story. And but just like with the Israelites, it wasn't all the miraculous plagues that made that such a special story. It's that God saved them, that he brought them out. And here again, it's not all the angel appearances, all the miracles that make this so special. What makes the Christmas story so special is that it's really the salvation story. The Almighty God giving to us, sinful man, a Savior. This is what makes it so special. It's a very special story. And as we focus on the Christmas story each year, I'm all the more amazed by the wisdom of God in salvation. The wisdom of God. His wisdom is so much greater than ours. And we really should be amazed at the wisdom of God in salvation. In this history of salvation. Now, there's so many different aspects of this story that would be well worth looking at today. But today I want to focus on giving. Giving. In this little baby boy in the manger, God is giving us a Savior. There's no other gift that can ever come close to comparing with this gift that God has given us in a Savior. This morning we're also going to look at our giving. As we give gifts, I would guess that many of us, if not all of us, have Christmas traditions that involve giving of gifts. And so we'll look at that as well. And then last but not least, we'll look at the Christian life in general and how it should really be a lifestyle of giving. So the outline this morning, the title is Giving, and 3 points. Number one, God gives us a Savior. God gives us a Savior. And number two, we give gifts. And number three, living a life of giving. And in each of these, as we go through here, we're going to look briefly as well as at each one as how we should respond. How we should respond to these gifts. Because that's important as well. So number one, God gives us a Savior. You know, there are so many different characteristics of God. But one of them is certainly that He is giving. Our God is a giving God. He is a giving God. He gives us our daily bread. He gives us His Word. He gives us His Holy Spirit. He gives us everything we need for life and godliness. We could just go on and on. The list is endless, what God gives us. And as we see in our text today, He has given us a Savior. And this Savior is His own Son. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life." And so God gives us a Savior. But what is He saving us from? I appreciate how simple Matthew 1:21 puts it. "And she will bear a son, and you shall call His name Jesus, for it is He who will save His people from their sins." You see, He is a Savior sent to save us, but He's not saving us from some outside enemy attack. He saves us from our own sins. Saves us from ourselves, if you would. Saves us from our bondage to sin. Saves us from the wrath of God, from the punishment, the judgment that our sin deserves. So God gives us a Savior who saves us from our sin. And this Savior He gives us comes in such an unlikely form, doesn't it? You know, many of us, you've read books, you've seen movies where someone is in danger and the hero comes onto the scene. And the hero is always a picture of strength, toughness. But that's not what we see here. It's really the opposite. Here we see the weakness, the humility of a little baby. But this is the Christmas gift. In the wisdom of God, He has given us this Savior. The hero has arrived. He's the baby lying in a manger. God gives us a Savior. But how is He going to save us? He's going to live a perfectly sinless life. He's going to give His life a ransom for many. And praise God, that's exactly what He did. In the wisdom of God, this baby boy was born to live a perfect life for us. And also born to die a criminal's death for us. He died in our place on the cross. That through His death, He gives us life. God did what only God could do. He gave what only God could give. And we are the beneficiaries of this gift. So how should we respond? Except really in overflowing, abundant gratitude. In Luke, we read that after the angel appeared to the shepherds and announced the birth of Jesus, it says in verse 13 and 14 of Luke 2, "And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased.'" The shepherds as well, when they left to go back, were glorifying and praising God. Oh, we should be so thankful. God has given us the greatest gift in giving us his Son, the Savior. And so we thank him. We thank him verbally. We praise him for giving us the Savior. But we also express our thankfulness in how we live out our lives. You know, before we came to Christ, we lived for ourselves. We walked in darkness and sin. But Christ changes everything in our life. And we walk in the light as he is in the light. Our focus is no longer on me and what I want. And all of this is so humbling, isn't it? Because we recognize that we did not accomplish this change within ourselves. Christ did it. But don't forget, it came with a price. It came with a price. He gave up his life to save us from our sins. His death on the cross, his separation from the Father. Our response should be thankfulness. God has given us a Savior. Christ changes everything for us. We should be so thankful. And what a great opportunity to thank God, to celebrate him sending us his Son, him giving us a Savior. But I want you to consider for a moment what kind of giver God is. Now, this list could go on and on, but I'm just giving you three things this morning. What kind of giver is God? God gives generously. Generously. What has God held back from us? What has God held back from us? He has given us his only Son. God is not stingy. He does not just give us a little aid. No, he lavishes blessings upon us. He fills our cup to full and overflowing. So God gives generously, abundantly. Secondly, God gives practically. God gives so practically. There is nothing we needed more than a Savior. Nothing we needed more. We who are guilty sinners, fully deserving the punishment of God. We without Christ have no hope. There is no way for us to save ourselves. And God gives us a Savior. His gift met our greatest need. So God gives practically. God also gives effectively. He gives effectively. Matthew 1:21, "And she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for it is he who will save his people from their sins." It doesn't say here that it is he who will try to save his people from their sins. No, he gives effectively. It doesn't say here that it is he who will offer salvation to his people, as if he might sit back and hope someone might accept it. No, it says that Jesus will save. He will save his people from their sins. It will happen. He will do it. God is powerful. He is sovereign. When God gives us a Savior, he does not give us a potential Savior, but an effective Savior. Jesus will save his people. So God gives effectively. God gives us a Savior. Also, it's important when we think of the Savior as a gift, it's important that we understand that a gift is not earned or owed. It's not earned or owed. You can't do anything to earn a gift. It's a gift. If you earn it or work for it, it's wages. It's not a gift. And in that case, it's owed you. But the Savior is a gift. Salvation is a gift. So number two, we give gifts. As I mentioned before, most of us give gifts at Christmas time. That's what we do. It's a tradition that we've grown up doing. It's very common at Christmas we give gifts. And while giving gifts is good, certainly there's nothing wrong with giving gifts. At the same time, our culture can put so much of an emphasis on materialism, and all the gifts under the tree become the focus and somewhat overshadow God's gift of giving us a Savior. And we certainly want to be careful of that. There have been some years that our family has just simply not done any gifts that year in an attempt to keep the focus more on Christ. And no gifts is fine at Christmas. But as we consider giving gifts, whether it's Christmas time or really any other time, we should consider giving to others as God has given to us. Now, obviously, there's nothing we can give that can come anywhere close to comparing with God's gift. That's not what I'm saying, but giving as God gives. And so consider giving generously. God is generous with us. We should be generous with each other. God tells us in the Proverbs to be generous. Generosity is a good thing. The generous man will be prosperous. He who waters will himself be watered. You know, generosity really expresses love for others, but it also at the same time expresses a lack of love and attachment for the things of this earth. It's not about what all I can get my hands on. It's more about how can I bless you? What can I give to you? So give generously. The second one, give cheerfully. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, "Let each one do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." You see, God doesn't want us to be giving loving gifts with a grudging heart. No. the gift and the heart behind it should match. It's a joy, it's a blessing to be able to bless others with a gift. And so our gifts should be given with great joy. Next, give practically. Give practically. Give to others what they need, what they can put to good use. Again, that's what makes the gift of the Savior such a good gift. It's exactly what we needed. And this is what makes our gifts a blessing to each other, when we give what is useful and needful. So be practical in your giving. Now our response, when people give us gifts, how should we respond? Certainly we should respond with gratitude, and we should express our thankfulness to them. We really need to be thankful even when the gift wasn't what we would have picked. A few years ago, I mean, when my kids are young, I really try to express this to them, communicate to them the importance of being thankful. And at Christmas, I know they're going to get gifts, and so I'm telling them, okay, you need to be thankful. None of us deserve to get a gift. But there are gifts here, and so you need to be thankful. You need to communicate that to the person that got you a gift, and, you know, say something nice about it, whatever. But be thankful for the gift, and communicate that thankfulness. And a few years ago, it worked out just right, because I just got done telling the whole family, but the little kids especially, you know, be thankful. And then we open the gifts, and everybody, it's great. And I had bought my wife these knives for Christmas that I knew she needed and wanted. And I knew that she didn't need a bread knife, and so I didn't get her a bread knife. And I knew what I bought her, so I didn't pay attention when she opened her gift. But she opened the gift, and it was a bread knife. Well, my friend and I that went Christmas shopping together, when they wrapped the knives for our wives, they switched them, and I got his wife's gift. And so my wife opens this gift, and she knows what she wanted, and it wasn't at all what she wanted. But here I am, I just preached a sermon to our kids about being thankful for what you get. And so she had a great opportunity to show being thankful when you don't get what you want. But I wasn't even paying attention, so I didn't know that she got a bread knife until later, and then I just died laughing. I couldn't believe that they did that. But we need to be thankful for what's given us. Praise God, He does not give us what we want. Praise God. Be thankful. You know, I really believe that the sin of ungratefulness is a far greater sin than we ever realize. The sin of ungratefulness is a far greater sin than we realize. May God humble our hearts, that we would be thankful, that we would fully appreciate the gifts that we're given, both from Him and others. So God gives us a Savior, and we give gifts. So number three, living a life of giving. When God gave us a Savior, it really was the gift that keeps on giving. Not only does Christ give us so much more than salvation, but
He changes us. He transforms us so that we give like never before. In Mark 10, James and John are trying to elevate themselves. And they ask Jesus if they can sit next to him in glory. And Jesus ends up responding to them with these words. He says, "Whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." You know, Christ didn't just die for us, but he also lived for us, and he showed us how to live. He didn't come to take and take and take, to try to accumulate for himself. No, he came and gave and gave and gave. And that's really the model for us to follow. To live a life of giving. Live a life of giving. Not focused on how much we can get for ourselves in this life, but focused on how can we give more. How can we give more to others? In Ephesians 4, Paul spoke of laying aside the old self and putting on the new self. And in Ephesians 4:28, he didn't just say, instead of stealing for yourself, now work for yourself. But he went far beyond that. He said, "Let him who steals steal no longer, but rather let him labor, performing with his own hands what is good, in order that he may have something to share with him who has need." You see, the focus, the motivation, it all changes. Christ totally transforms our heart and our mindset. The old self is so selfish, focused on getting and gathering for myself. Get everything I can for me, even if that means stealing. But the new self is not only interested in an honest job, but the focus has changed completely on what my desire is to do with that money. Not only will I work hard to make an honest living, but I'm looking for ways to help others. How can I give? Who needs help? It isn't just money, it's time, it's every resource. But this is the change that Christ makes in us, that we live a giving life. Looking to use the resources we have to give to others, to be a blessing, to help others. And once again, when others do this for us and give of themselves to help us, we need to express our thankfulness to them. And this is happening all the time. This is happening every day. Whether it's family members, church members, neighbors, whatever it is, when people are blessing you, make sure you thank them. Make sure you thank them. So in conclusion, our God is a giving God. Our God is a giving God. And in his wisdom, in his perfect plan, he gave us the Savior. This baby boy that was born in Bethlehem changed everything. Jesus Christ laid down his life to give us new life in him. Because Jesus gave to us, We now live lives of giving to others. Certainly we can't give like Jesus did. We can't save anyone. But we can point them to Christ. We can help them with whatever they're struggling with today. We can encourage them. Don't think for a moment that you need money to give. You don't need money to give. Brothers and sisters, this Christmas, let's express our thankfulness to God for giving us a Savior. And let's look for those around us that God may put in our path that we can help, that we can give to them. What a blessing it is that God has given to us. And may we share that. Share the good news of the gospel. Share the physical blessings that God has given us with those in need. This is the change that Christ has made in us, that our life is no longer all about getting for ourselves. We have a world full of that. But because of Christ, and only because of Christ, we can now look at each other, look at those we meet, and look for ways to give. Again, how can I give more? How can I give more? All because of Christ. What a blessing He's given us. Let's pray. Oh Lord God, we thank You so much. Lord, we are undeserving of this wonderful gift. But Lord, we thank You so much for giving us Your Son. Lord, that we have a Savior who gave His life for us. We thank You. And Lord, we pray You would work in us more and more a giving heart, that we would share with others the good news of the gospel, that we would share with others bread for today. We thank You, Lord, for loving us, for helping us, and giving of Yourself. We pray that we would be willing to sacrifice and to give to others in need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.